What's the message in this story of the visit of the Magi, of the wise men, of the three kings? I don't think it's on how many of them there were. If you look back at your Bible text, the Bible doesn't specify how many there were. In our translation today, it said wise men. But over the years, tradition has told us that there were three. And some reasons for that number are, of course, the three gifts, which were what?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Very good. And also, there's a reference to three kingdoms, or the kingdoms of three kings, in Psalm 72:10. May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. Plays into the tradition of three kings. But I don't think it's in how many there were where the message lies. And I don't think it's exactly what they were, because in different Bible translations, as I said, right at the beginning, we've got magi, we've got wise men, we've got kings. From Psalm 72:10, you've got that the kings of Tarshish. And also Isaiah 49:7 and Isaiah 60:10. They're called kings. In Isaiah 49:7, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to be deeply despised, abhorred by nations, slave rulers, kings shall see thee and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, has chosen you. And then from Isaiah 60, verse 10, foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. The passages don't necessarily refer to Jesus or the kings as they were written, but looking back, it's easy to say, hey, the kings, these three who came, these wise men bearing gifts. But these magi, in the reality of what they were followers of an ancient religion called Zervanism. Who's familiar with Zervanism? Anybody? Nobody? Zoroastrianism. Anybody? There's a few there. Zervanism is actually an old kind of branch, sort of an extinct branch of Zoroastrianism. And in Zoroastrianism and in Zervanism, you've got the creator Zervan. This is from Zervanism. And then there are the good and evil deities that Zervan has created. There's Ahura Mazda, the good deity, and Ahriman, the evil deity. And this is what the Magi followed. And they looked to the stars as a guide for life. And they were excellent astrologers. And they did not follow any kind of accepted religious practice of the Hebrew people. So I don't think the message is in how many there were, or exactly what they were, or how about who they were. The Magi are not named in our Bible text, but tradition has given us some names. Anybody know the names tradition has given us of the wise men? Brian knows. Go ahead, say one.
Melchior.
Okay, who else?
Belshazzar.
Yeah, who else?
Casper.
There we go, the three. Those three names are actually in our Western tradition, and they come from 6th and 8th century texts from Egypt out of Syria. However, they're not the only names. Others give us these names: Hor, Karsuden, and Bazanader. I don't know if I said that correct. That's from Ethiopian texts. And then there's Kagba, Badadakarida, and Badadilma. And those are Armenian names for the three kings, the wise men, the magi. And actually, those six names, they're more like what names might have been like. You know, Belshazzar and Melchior and Casper are names that the Western side has kind of come up with, or at least has lived on. But these magi, where they were from, which is also probably not part of the main message, they were from Persia. And where is Persia? Iran, yeah. They come from Persia. Marco Polo, who went to Tehran, or has written of his travels, you know, Marco Polo, the famous life tourist, he claims to have visited their tombs in Tehran in the 1200s. I don't know what name was on the tombs that he visited. I don't think where they were from is actually central to the message. So it's not what they were, how many there were, who they were, where they were from. I don't even think the message is actually in what they followed. And what did they follow? Was it an actual star? Was it a planetary alignment? Was it maybe a clouding or a disappearance of a star or a planet? Or was the whole star thing kind of a reference to another passage of Scripture from Numbers, Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the borderlands of Moab and the territory of all the Shethites. I don't think even the star is central to the message. And I also don't think when they arrived is very significant. You notice here we are on Epiphany Sunday and there are no Christmas decorations here anymore. We took them down, as tradition dictates, on Epiphany yesterday, right? 12 days after Christmas, about. Some people say that the wise men arrived 12 days after Jesus was born. Others say, no, it was more like 2 years after. Herod had this whole thing about when did the star actually arise, and then there's the slaughter of the innocents. It's not part of our passage today. All the children, or all the male children under 2 years. So scholars think it was about 2 years after Jesus was born that the Magi arrived. And they arrived in a house. The Bible says they came to a house and they saw the mother and the child, not to a manger, not to a stable. I don't even think that the gifts that they brought are really central to the message, although they have a message in them. Remember, it's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How many of you paid close attention to the hymn that we sang just before? No, not close. Did you sing it? How many of you sang the hymn? Very good. Very good. It's one step, you know. Over time, and especially due to this song, these gifts have become symbolic of Jesus' royalty, as in the gold, of Jesus as his deity, Jesus as God, with the incense, and Jesus' death and resurrection with the myrrh. And those descriptions of the gifts, or maybe the gifts themselves, might be related to another passage from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6. Listen to this. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. So we got two out of the three there from Isaiah. You know, this bringing of the gifts, though, to Jesus, it's unlike giving gifts to charity. These magi came as powerful men, I think. They had money. They had stuff. But they came to give gifts as an act of honor to royalty. Instead of them coming in power to the poor family and saying, here's some gifts so that you can go to Egypt. Or here's some gifts because you don't have anything, because you're poor. They came worshiping and giving honor and glory. They fell down and worshiped him, and they gave him gifts. Something like that, a little message within a message that I haven't revealed yet. Something like that can reframe our thoughts about charity and giving, helping everyone to realize that giving to others should never be about power, but instead about honor and respect. And it is a great message to learn from the visit of the Magi, but it's not the message that I think is central. It is one, however, that I think is worth exploring in another sermon. Ready, Neil? Write that one down. So I've been spending all this time talking about what the message isn't. And as interesting as the message isn't. If it's not in all those things that I mentioned, where is it? What is this message? So here's what I believe the message is. I believe the message is that these visitors from another land, another culture, and another religion recognized Jesus. I'll say it again. I believe that the message is that these visitors from another land, another culture, and another religion recognized Jesus. And before we jump to a conclusion that is like, well, see, everyone should see Jesus. The Magi did. Why doesn't everyone open their eyes like the Magi did and become followers of Jesus and see Jesus? Before we go there, I think we should focus in a little different direction and ask the question, do we recognize Jesus? We don't have a baby in Bethlehem. So how can we see Jesus? How can we recognize Jesus? In our passage this morning, strangers from another land saw Jesus and recognized Jesus. So how about the reverse? How about when Jesus has that stranger's face? How do we reach out to others with Jesus' love? And maybe that's a question we have pondered many times and reacted to because, you know, at St. Matthew, I think we serve others as we would serve Jesus. We do a good job at that. We give our time, we give our money, we give ourselves when we see of a need or learn of a need. And I think that if you look at some of the things that St. Matthew as a church has done over the years in reaching out, in trying to help others, in seeing a need and trying to fill that need, and then learning that God works miracles in our lives even as we seek to help others, that is seeing Jesus. It's recognizing Jesus. Sometimes it's being recognized as Jesus, but it's seeing Jesus in others and responding with honor and respect. So we're good at that. So why give that message? Because there may be something more. And the question is, where do we forget or where do we fail to see Jesus? If we do it in these other times, and let me propose some questions. Is it in the people that we're angry with that we fail to see Jesus? Or is it in the people that we are estranged from that we fail to see Jesus? Or is it in the people that we wish would just keep their opinions to themselves that we fail to see Jesus? Or is it in the people that we want to be kind to but we just can't seem to do it that we fail to see Jesus? I think over the past year, this is where we've had more trouble than anything else. And look, I'm not interested in this morning's sermon leaving you with this feeling of, oh, yeah, man, failure or anger or how dare you or anything like that. I know that we all fail. All of us fail. And the good news is that God's love and God's grace is with us all the time, no matter what. When we fail, we get to turn around. That word repent, to turn around. We fail, we get to turn around and then keep moving forward. Keep moving ahead on our journey of faith. When we fail, we get to turn around and move forward on our journey of faith. Let me leave you with these words of encouragement. Let's all continue the journey in this new year. And let's spend time noticing. Let's spend time honoring. Let's spend time respecting. Let's spend time recognizing Jesus.